if you treat your children well, you will perform better as well. And that's sort of the mission we're on at the moment.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast. Today, we have our friends from Expat Valley joining us. We're going to have a very deep conversation on children, protecting children, supporting children, different education systems, different environments that work for them. I think it's going to be really an interesting conversation. And I'm going to bring in my co-host, Andrew Jernigan. You've moved around the world with your children, and it's quite an interesting experience. And we've had some conversations on this podcast about third culture kids. As we embark on this conversation today, it's the most important asset that we have is our family and our children, and protecting them is something that I see from time to time from our remote worker community that comes second after, hey, I've got this great opportunity, or I need to go to this great place. And they need to think about some things in advance.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining in again this week. I am a little bit triggered because as a young married, quite naive couple. Before kids, we thought, oh, we're going to raise the kids around the world and it's going to be the best for them. It's going to be the best experience. They're going to know foods. They're going to know cultural things. It's so much of an advantage over everyone else. And it was cross-cultural marriage. My wife is from Brazil. So my kids are dual passport. My third one was born in Ghana. And a friend of ours gave us a book called Third Culture Kids. And we read that before having kids, gave it to my parents so that they could realize what they're going to lose having kids growing up away from them. But we didn't realize any of the negative effects. We only thought, oh, the grass is greener on the other side of that fence. So this is a great episode today to have the folks from Expat Valley on. And I'm really looking forward to this because I'm going to learn a few things, I believe.
Well, you know, Andrew, your experience was slightly different than mine in that you were actually moving and living in different places. Mine was more along the lines of I'm always on the road, always traveling. And then what do you miss there when you come back? And I think we're going to have some great conversations about, I mean, Expat Valley has a really unique trip kid and first aid kid, which will differentiate. But I just think about the effects of being gone as much, but also that we did try to bring them along many different vacations or trips. And that really did raise their understanding of the world and their horizons. So to this day, there's some blessings and there's a few curses out there. And we'll try to, for folks on this podcast, we'll try to keep you out of the curses and get you into the blessings. So why don't we bring in our friends from Expat Valley? Matthias and Carlene will join us. And I would love to ask, Matthias, you and I worked together in the past, paths crossed much earlier in our lives. Would love you to do a quick introduction of Expat Valley and how you made the transition from being more corporate person to one that's a little less corporate and certainly focused on children's health and welfare. Love to hear you, both of your stories.
Thanks, first of all, for having us today. We're also very excited to speak to you guys and spread the word about what mission we're on. So we're Expat Valley. We're the Ombudsman for International Children. And, you know, just in a few sentences, we really believe that international migration should be an enriching experience for children. And we see that there's a lot of things we still have to do and need to do in order to get them in a position to thrive, basically. So that's sort of the quick introduction. And we'll talk a little bit more about Expat Valley later on. But the other part of it is, to your point, our paths crossed in the past. I think for me, that was sort of that planted the seed for the idea of Expat Valley, because working with a lot of employers and seeing the importance of employees and being on the sort of the provider side, you sort of see that a lot of focus goes to the employer, like keep your employees healthy, keep them safe. You do see some initiatives when it comes to the spouse and the partners. When it really comes to children, it's a completely overlooked part of the business, whilst actually, if you turn it around, children can actually have a very positive impact on you as an employee, but especially on you as a business. I was also writing children's books when I was sort of from my 20-year-old or something. So I always had the imagination of combining those two worlds together, because I loved sort of the nomadic experience and being out there in the world and speaking to people with different worldviews. But at the same time, I also felt like a bit of creativity and innovation can't hurt in the space of supporting children with their well-being.
You mentioned leaving that space. I was thinking in our old world, you're right. The question never came up other than, hey, there's an international school there. But, you know, as we're putting together healthcare plans and supporting employers, there was never the conversation of what was best for the children. Was there mental health services for them, et cetera? And also not a lot of maybe health and support of the parents of what they should do that's best for the children. So I'd love both of you to comment a bit on some of the tips and ideas that you have for folks. And I really like what you did on your trip kit and first aid kit, and maybe go into a little detail on what you do there at Expat Valley for those initiatives.
Well, in my case, I started a bit on the employment side just to sort of investigate what's already out there. I think there's a lot of good stuff going out there. Employers overall spend a lot of money on children. You know, if you look at the cost for an international school, cultural trainings, people usually get a nice house, which is obviously also changing a lot in the whole world in terms of benefits, and they're becoming a little bit more scarce. But at the same time, they do spend a lot of money, but it sort of comes from a place where money equals care. And that's not the case. If you really want to make impact for children, you have to take a few steps back, actually really look at them as a homogeneous group, sort of like, and that's what we've done at Expat Valley, right? How many children actually grow up in another country apart from the one they were born in? And you're talking about over 40 million children. And then we're only talking about the children that actually have sort of migrated. And if you sort of also think about children that interact with parents that travel on a regular basis, so they actually do not migrate themselves, but they do have parents like yourself, you know, it's a huge group actually. So that sort of got us to thinking about, can we create a couple of concepts to sort of bring attention to corporates, to sort of have a, you know, it's not a protest, but it's sort of saying, hey guys, you know, there's more to gain for everyone here, right? It's sort of as an ecosystem. If you treat your children well, you will perform better as well. And that's sort of the mission we're on at the moment.
Well, to add to your point, I think when families are traveling or when employers are inviting their employee to go on an international assignment, you mentioned earlier in your introduction that the mindset tends to be the grass is greener on the other side, which in a way it is, but there's a lot to be done to actually sustain yourself on that other side. And children tend to be very much overlooked. So they're sort of somewhere in the whole decision-making process. Maybe some person asks the question like, when do we tell the children? But hardly ever anybody says, okay, but how about the children? What do they need? Working as an educational consultant, I ran into families who did have a realization that probably summer break or winter break, depending on what place of the world you're from, isn't the most ideal time and place to make such an international move. But there's a lot of focus and attention going to the first move. So you're in your home country or whatever place you're leaving and you're going to the next place. And I think one big piece of advice that we would like to give everybody is to think ahead. So what's going to be next? What's long term? How are you raising your children? Where will they be if they go to college or university or whatever else future plans they may have as an adult? And what do they need from you as a parent now and from your employer to get to that point? And I think as an adult, you're sort of out of that phase of life. You know what you're doing. You may have different career plans in the future, but you're sort of done growing up. Whereas as a kid, you need much more sustainable environment in a way. And that takes some planning and some time investment, energy investment. And as Matthijs was saying, sometimes money investment from the adults surrounding that kid, just to make sure they're in the right place.
I hear that. I wish you could repeat it all just so we could hear it once more. I think the occasional PT parent teacher meeting or the association meeting at the international school that may get attended to talk on the subject is one of the few opportunities that parents actually sit down and think about this when they're on an international assignment. But then you look at those that are world schooling, this new almost hippie movement of people saying, I'm going to raise my kids around the world. I'm going to use Galileo and unschool or virtual school anywhere I want. And we're just going to go from Airbnb to co-living space to other communities. Children are often along for the ride with the parents thinking, oh, they're going to have the greatest time. But yet they're developing. They need so much more than just to see and experience things. They need to be a kid to play. And yet we've all as adults taken these stress tests where a relocation or a new job ranks high. Imagine that on a kid level, you know, that relocation being on their stress. Those things really aren't considered as often as they should be, are they?
Correct. And I think that's the whole thing of this discussion. I think the conversation we're having is about sort of having this idea of a sort of a taboo that surrounds this topic. Most people are like, you don't have to think about this, or it's have a good life. They're traveling all around the world. They're seeing new cultures, but reality is actually completely different.
Yeah, that's nice for vacation. My girls are 5 and 7. And when we go on a vacation as a parent, I very much enjoy them going out and about, meeting other kids. And in that setting, it really doesn't matter if they speak the same same language because the universal language to engage with other children is play, and it works for them. But that works for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe if we're having a good time, 5 weeks. But that doesn't work for a year or longer. So for kids to really form roots, form their identity, establish relationships and know how to sustain them, they need a community that's greater than just the system of their close family. They need a community that's more than their siblings and their parents. That's more than the transient environment of whether that be international school or a local school they temporarily attend. They need a little bit more than just that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't take your kids around the world, because it is an amazing experience. And yes, they do learn things that they would never learn if you keep them in one place and they grow up monoculturally without even realizing there's more in the world to see. But when you do take them around to other places, just think ahead and keep in mind that they're kids. Listen to their voices.
Well, one thing that you brought up in your writings at Expat Valley, and I thought this was really interesting, was you pointed out that there's been a major migration, not only globally as people travel around, but the migration of children who spent time outdoors to indoors. And to me, this really resonates, as I grew up in an age where my parents would say, go out and play and come back in 3 hours. And you go build a treehouse, or you'd ride your bike around, etc. And frankly, I felt like most of us were pretty happy with that, looking back on it. And then the migration indoors, where I see kids today, and I don't want to sound like the angry old man saying, get off my lawn when I say kids today. But I just mean it is that they have so many more tools on the play on the Xbox, so much social media, etc. And I'll even remember when I asked a group of children, including my son, let's go bowling. And they were like, well, we could just bowl here on this game console. And I'm like, no, let's actually go do the real thing. And then all the studies seem to indicate that children are actually less happy today than maybe us who benignly did not know about this world. So could you make a comment about that? Because I think this is really something that's unique, that I think people taking a hike, riding a bike, parents need to get their children out, because it seems that it's really good for us to be into nature. So I'm sorry about my long-winded introduction, but it's something I'm very passionate.
Yeah, no, and so we've been trying to do as well for Expat Valleys, really to have a sort of a sustainable footprint and to really see where we can make impact. And also speaking to a lot of people that are sort of like-minded and like-hearted. And this is also one of the things that we care a lot about in terms of where can we make impact for children. And to your point about one of the biggest migrations in the world that we actually haven't seen, talking about overlooked topics concerning the health of our children that simply go from the outside to the inside, right? So sometimes can be as simple as that. And I think that's sort of where we as Expat Valley want to position ourselves with innovative products and ideas and services, is to really put us in a position to help children thrive, but also everyone surrounding, all of the stakeholders that are included, that they also have an advantage to put themselves in that position and to take it out of that sort of taboo sphere and really get ourselves in a position. We actually had a conversation this morning with someone that for us, it's so sort of common sense that we think this is the right thing to do, right? But there's still a lot of people that are so, coming back to what Caroline was saying, like really thinking long-term. I think the world that we live in is very much focused on short-term thinking, which sort of, that's where the clash sort of happens, where you want to introduce ideas such as we're doing at the moment.
You have on Expat Valley on the website that you're the ombudsman for children. What does that mean for someone that is outside the British language? That's not a term that's as used. I first encountered it when I lived in Ghana. So expound on that and why it's important, what it means to you, what it should mean to the parent, school, the humanitarian organization that would partner with you, the corporation that would engage with your services. Expound on that, if you will.
So when we were doing our soul searching and brand building and sort of trying to put as much as possible of ourselves, our belief systems, the things that we encountered in our previous jobs, into the work that we are doing now, we realized that the thing that we want to accomplish is just to make sure that all adult stakeholders, shareholders even, realize that their decisions are impacting children, and specifically to us, international children. There's a whole story to why we care about that, but I'll try to focus on answering your question first. So when we realized that it really is about standing up for the rights of these children, and these children having a voice, having access to information, being included in decision making being brought up by both their parents and not one parent being away due to frequent business travel without even realizing the impact that that has on the family. And all these aspects, we realize it really, as I said, boils down to the rights of these children being overlooked. And then somebody actually said to us, like, maybe you're the ombudsman for international children. And we had to get used to that, actually. It took us a few days, maybe even a few weeks. But the term ombudsman basically means that you're a representative, an advocate, somebody that draws attention to, and in our case, the needs and wants of international children. So the thing that we had to get used to, I guess, most is the ombudsman. They exist in national systems. There's children's ombudsmen in the Netherlands. We have a great children's ombudsman, but what they tend to do is they focus on children in the national system. Whereas if you go and read the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Children, which I should have done way earlier in my career than at 34, but anyway, I did. But if you go and read them, you'll see that a lot of the children's rights are actually embedded with government. Whereas the whole point with international children is that government becomes very ambiguous. So which government is actually responsible for a child that's not growing up in the country that they were born in, that's not living in the country that they are a passport holder of? And what you'll see is that it greatly varies around the world how governments see their responsibility, which puts parents and other stakeholders that care about the well-being of a child in a very difficult position if it comes down to caring for them. So to put this in a few words, we're standing up for the rights of these children and just make sure that everybody who's making decisions that impact their well-being realize, like, hey, there's children in the equation here, and just make sure you think of that.
Yeah, and the interesting part of ombudsman is it's an international term. I think you mentioned, Andrew, Ghana, also an ombudsman. So you see it in different parts of the world, and sort of what it says and what it tells. It's also gender neutral. So it's not that Caroline is the ombudswoman or anything else. So yeah, that sort of resonated with the audience. And I think since we sort of embraced that terminology a little bit more, it also helped us to sort of accelerate the conversations with all of our stakeholders to make an impact for those children. Because they sort of, in one word, saw like, okay, you're representing the rights of those children. And rather than, oh, this is Expat Valley, which is also very important to us. But then it was more like, tell me what you do or show me something. And this was much more to the point for us. So that sort of is the development of where we came from.
It seems it's a missing piece of the corporate duty of care programs, in that the duty of care is often focused on the employee. And a few appointments with the traveling, the trailing partner, the accompanying partner, I should say, not trailing, accompanying partner. Very little for the child other than school placement and some language lessons. And this is a microphone that needs to be put up a lot closer to say, look, the child needs to have that voice. I think about my own 13-year-old that I struggled thinking he is online gaming with people back in a city we previously lived in. He needs to get into the city we now live in, was my first thought. But then I realized, no, he's maintaining relationships by gaming online with the people in the past. And it turns out 2 years later, he went to summer camp with the kid that he was gaming with. And it's just one of those things to where we need to realize that these relationships kids have these days, oftentimes they spend hours building a virtual Lego online with someone across the ocean, but yet could be a lifelong friend because they've spent more time with them than they would if they were just riding on their bike to the store for 10 minutes and coming home and crashing to stare at the TV together or to play Monopoly together. So our parameters, our framework for childhood today have to be adjusted, don't they?
Absolutely. You did something interesting in what you were saying just now. You referred to your son's friends as people of the past. And I think that's something that we're capable of doing as adults. Most adults, somewhere in growing up, gain the skill of realizing what people add value to your life and which people perhaps don't. Or they did before, but now they don't anymore. And that's okay. Relationships come and go. But as children, these relationships, they are part of our identity. And still the same, they come and go, but they tend to come and go more naturally. And that's something that an international move is very disruptive to. And I think as a parent, you did a great thing to actually letting your son be and making decisions on his own term. Is this relationship now ending, yes or no? While there's a lot to be said about screen time and sitting inside as opposed to outdoors, it's a great thing about these new media solutions that children are actually capable of maintaining this relationship on their own terms in a play-based setting, despite it being a virtual play-based setting. So it's actually a great thing that the opportunity is out there for them.
I think that there's something else that we should all talk about is just the simple conversation with your children about what they're interested in. And I'm just thinking about conversations with my daughter who told me that she loved whales. and just loved dolphins. And then to this day, you know, joined an organization out of San Diego where you try to keep plastic out of the seas. That's something that she's picked up. Or my son, who's very worried about the environment and obviously living in California right now, you see all the fires, but you see the fires around the world and floods and the different ways that he could help the environment. And I think of a weird conversation, but after the Columbine shootings in the United States, they asked a child care advocate what he would have told those children. And he said something that resonated with me. He says, I wouldn't have told them anything. I would have tried to listen to them. And that just blew my mind. And maybe you guys could comment quickly on all of you. So we'll start episode Valiant to Andrew. Having those conversations with your children and drawing them out. So throw it to Expat Valley first, or to Fred's there and Andrew on that, but I think that's incredibly important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you just alluded to some of the things that we have on our website, like the first aid kit, and actually all of the products that are in there sort of allows parents to engage with children. So it's about the children. You put children at the center of everything, which we think is really important. But at the same time, it's beautiful that parents also can engage with children. So like if they're coming home, I've got three children myself. So if my son or my daughter has come home, it's always like, how was school? And they will always say, oh, it was okay. But once you really sit down with them and you sort of do something together with them and you actually sit on the ground and you take a coloring picture in front of you, you put it on the ground and you start drawing, then all of a sudden the conversation becomes completely different. They're much more open and they also feel that you're engaging with them and that you're spending time and that you're really aware and present in the moment. And I think that's one of the key things that we found out, especially when it comes to international children. They're experiencing life in warp time. They're going through life in warp drive. Everything is going so fast. And as a parent, being able to spend quality time with them, it's something so simple, but really being present with them and actually also giving them the tools in order to engage with them is something so simple, but it works.
I'm deep in thought. This is challenging to hear as I've looked at raising three kids across different countries and wish I had been in this conversation a few years back, but I'm glad that you exist. I want to hear more from the two of you. This is good.
Well, I think it's the time in our episode that we usually ask, and we will hear more, Andrew. Could either both of you share an overlooked person, place, or experience you would suggest our listeners discover?
I just want to comment on Andrew, and I will be cautious with time, but I think it's great that you're giving us sort of the platform to speak about this. And I think one of the things that we've learned is actually a lot of our inspiration came from stories how it didn't really go as the way it should have gone. So it actually allows us to be more innovative, to hear those stories in order to do the right thing. So in terms of legacy and the things we want to leave behind, I think it's great that you're being vulnerable about this and sort of really happy that we're here with you today as well. So that's sort of my first comment. Secondly, I think the fact that we're actually talking about an overlooked person like the international child and being able to voice that in this podcast today, I think is brilliant. And then I will also cater to probably where the question is meant for. Went with a couple of my colleagues of one of the company we work for. We went to the Isle of Skye, which is a beautiful island in Scotland. And I've got great memories of that place. And it's one of the most beautiful places. And because we obviously live in the Netherlands in Europe, it sort of amazes you that sometimes we travel all around the globe whilst actually in a few hours, you can actually sit in one of the most beautiful places from our perspective. So I would definitely recommend to your listeners the Isle of Skye in Scotland.
To add to that, the way I found out that my husband and I were moving to Shanghai, China across the globe was when I was getting a text message. This is way before there was like web-based communications on your phone possible. I received a text message on a Friday afternoon and the message was basically, how about Shanghai? And we were engaging in this discussion about going on vacation, either like some far away exotic place like Jamaica, I think it was, or Italy. That was the discussion that we have been having going on. And I realized when I received this message, like, we're not going. This is not about vacation. I'm not sure what this is about. We had to decide over the weekend, actually. We had a great time. But the one thing that we learned over traveling very exotic places, because being based in Shanghai, we saw quite a bit of Asia in our young lives that we wouldn't have had the opportunity if we had remained in Europe. But at one point, we realized that basically where we wanted to go on our next vacation, if we could choose anything, it would be a place like Italy, which to living in the Netherlands, it's not as exotic. It's kind of in the same way that Matthijs was just saying, but the realization also was very much that we felt we would have been too close to our family to allow ourselves to go to Italy, because then we would still be 1,000 kilometers away as opposed to the 9,000 that we were living. So we kind of ended up meeting in the middle ground. We did the Netherlands and then Italy on our way back, and then that's how we managed. But I guess the point I'm trying to make make. If we're talking about traveling anywhere in the world, nomads have that opportunity. But yeah, stay close to your hearth. That might bring you home. That might bring you to a place close to home. It might bring you to exotic places. But yeah, there's a lot to be seen out there.
Fantastic. So we learned a lot today. And could you share with us quickly where people could learn more about Expat Valley, whether online, LinkedIn, etc.? I'm sure folks will want to reach out to you. And of course, we'll make sure that we put much of this in the show notes when this podcast is aired.
I think the best place to go to is our website. It's expatvalley.com. Very simple. You can also find all of our details on there, phone number, email. So also shout out to the people who are listening. We have noted that there's a lot of people that are willing and actually are very happy to share their stories about traveling globally and sharing their experience. One went good, one went wrong. So we always like to think and be open for those stories. So anything you want to share with us or any other questions about any topic related to international children, feel free to reach out to us.
Fantastic. Well, I learned a lot today. As we usually wrap up, we go to Mr. Jernigan for what he learned today.
I went down memory lane. I was on the boat, picturing the scenes, that sunrise on the way to the Isle of Skye, and the solitary moments I had with my journal on that island on my trip there. So great. It's a memory I haven't thought of in many years. It's over 20 years ago that I went to the Isle of Skye. And so I know that was only the overlooked place, but that's one of my takeaways. Back to kids, though. I like the interactive tools they've built with the first aid kid. That's not kit. First aid kid, I believe, that they've developed, and some of the other things. I really feel like that needs to get in the hands of more people. And so it's encouraging. Do check that out on expatvalley.com.
I learned a lot. I wish I had applied more of it when my children were younger, but you know what? One little aside is, no matter what age your children are, everybody's been a child once, and we need to support everybody. And I was just thinking about the outside to indoors. Both of my children spent quite a period of time moving indoors, and as now they're in their early 20s, they're spending a lot more time moving outdoors yet again, hiking, Joshua Tree, playing tennis, going to the beach. So those of you parents out there, some of this stuff does transition as you have those dialogues, and certainly relationships change as times go on. But I really got to salute our friends at Expat Valley for bringing this to our attention. I also learned today that Andrew plays Monopoly, and he might be one of the few left that still does that. I'm not the only get off the lawn old man type of thing, because I can't remember the last time the Monopoly board has come out, but I do salute him for that.
So they don't make it into the suitcase or the container. They just get left behind. So here I am, my latest country, and I don't have a board yet. But guys, this has been fun today, and look forward to having you back on in the future, I hope. And this is one of my favorites so far.
Great. Well, I just want to remind everyone, the New Nomad is not just a podcast. It's a community of people, ideas, and spirit helping you take advantage of that location-independent lifestyle. Please travel safely. Please protect your children. Please look out for others. And we look forward to hearing from you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.